Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome in to the Late Night Gamecock Show. I am your host, Matt Anderson, the Late Night Gamecock himself, self-dubbed, which I appreciate. I like that name. It's pretty cool. And Alex Jones of thebigspur.com. Alex, we say this, I feel like almost every other show, but can you believe it's 2026 now?
I can't. I mean, it feels like we just got off here to do our little break for Christmas and New Year's, and I mean, it feels like football season just ended, but it's hard to believe 2026 is already here.
Absolutely. I agree. And look, we wish everybody watching this, everybody listening to this, the absolute best 2026. We hope that this year is filled with all of your hopes and dreams. And if you're watching this, probably a lot of Gamecock football, basketball, baseball, softball, victories, soccer. We'll throw it all in there. But first and foremost, just wish you all the best 2026, the best Happy New Year's. Hope you all had a great Christmas season. And Alex, it feels like even after missing 2 weeks, there's just so much to cover right now.
Is there anything to talk about tonight? I don't really know if there's a whole lot to talk about.
Well, a couple notes. If you're watching the show right now, you have realized that it's 7:02 on January 4th. We are doing the show now on Sunday nights. Going forward, that's going to be our routine. I think it's going to be really, really good for this show because we'll be able to recap everything that happened. You're going to have 1 to 2 men's and women's basketball games a week. Before you know it, it's going to be baseball and softball season. Then you're going to have spring football and everything that comes with that. So going on Sundays, this might be a little bit of a weekend review, what do you think, Alex? You know, what's the long-term trajectory look like based on what we've seen thus far this past week and so far for each season. But we're so excited for all of you to be with us tonight. I promise, we are going to talk the transfer portal for football. That is the biggest thing that's happening in the world of Gamecock sports right now. We're going to talk all about that, but we also have to hit some other things as we've been gone for a couple weeks. So, Alex, I think right now it's time for the Late Night Gamecock Show.
Gonna turn on the late night show. Hear what's going down in Cooktown.
So we're going to start off tonight with some basketball content because basketball has kept going, Alex, even though they had a little bit of a break around Christmas. The men's and women's teams are still going strong. The women now are 15-1 on the season. They beat Florida on the road today without some key Gamecocks, I might add, by 11 points. But over their last couple of games, Alex, they beat South Florida Florida Gulf Coast in Florida. I don't want to say it's a road game, but it was in the state of Florida. It might have been on the other team's home court. But Then you have Providence and Alabama. They beat those four teams by an average margin of victory of 47 points. And then today on the road against Florida, won by 11 by a score of 74-63. Tessa Johnson and Raven Johnson kind of led the way. Okot put 12 points up as well. And then Joyce Edwards with 11. With, you know, honestly, without some of their key players, Alex, it was still good to get a double digit victory on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a Florida team that, you know, I think is starting to improve as a program. And, you know, for South Carolina today, it wasn't probably their best overall offensive performance, but it still shows, like, the caliber of team that they have, that they can go on the road and still not have that best overall offensive performance, but still go find a way to get a W.
Yeah, I agree with you, Alex. And right now, the women, if you haven't been paying attention, they're not number one in the country. They're number three in the country. Their lone loss on the season is something that we touched on back in 2025, but they did lose on a neutral court to Texas by 2 points. UConn's number one in the country. Texas is number two. Kind of weird, Alex, that Texas game, even though it was a conference opponent, was not a conference game because of the way these tournaments work in the non-con portion of the schedule. But Alex, I mean, this team probably won't be tested again until they play Texas. That game will be January 15th in Colonial Life Arena. I cannot imagine what those ticket prices will be, because it will probably be number two or number one in the country versus number one, two, or three in the country if everything just holds status quo. That's something that I would love to go to, actually, Alex. Like, I went to the Vanderbilt game this weekend. Me and my mom went out there, had a good time. And we looked around, and Alex, this is my first game of the year on the men's. And I know you've covered a lot of them, but after the 12-minute timeout and the official timeout in the first half, they said, everyone in the upper deck, come grab any seat you want.
Yeah.
And it kind of made the lower deck look right, like look like it, you know, had people there. But my mom was telling me, like, hey, the girls' games, it's nothing like that. The women's games, like, it's completely packed. You don't have to make that announcement.
Yeah, I mean, they fill out the 18,000-seat arena pretty much for every home game. It's we've mentioned again just how incredible it is, the program that Dawn Staley's built, and the fan base has just been awesome that she's created.
Well, we spent some time at the Asia Wilson statue, and, you know, even walking through the trophies at Colonial Life Arena. And maybe I just hadn't been there in a little bit, Alex, but my mom made a pretty good point. It was like, this is the house that Dawn built. You know, you had Frank McGuire Arena, the house that Frank built. This is the house that Dawn built. And I'm just encouraging folks, if you want to go to that game, go ahead and get your tickets, because it's going to be one of the most sought after tickets in Columbia that we've seen for a long time. Unfortunately, on the men's side, Alex, the men are now 9-5 on the season. I was obviously there yesterday for the Vanderbilt game. Vanderbilt is number 11 in the country, probably one of the better teams in the country. And watching them in person, I came away very impressed, especially knowing that they had a kid that was averaging almost 18 points a game, 17 points a game, not playing. They are very, very talented. And with South Carolina, like, if they're not going to make threes, that's just going to be what the result is. Honestly, that's where I left it. What is your takeaway there, Alex?
Yeah, Vanderbilt, I mean, undefeated, that kind of speaks for itself. So they got some really good road wins in the non-conference with Wake Forest, and I think went on the road into a tournament kind of setting and beat St. Mary's. So had some really good wins in the non-conference. And, I mean, I think you and I texted about, like, Tyler Tanner, their point guard, had, like, 14 assists in that game. Like, he was really, really good and kind of the key to that offense. But, you know, when you watch that team, when they get open shots, they make them. And they're, you know, under Mark Byington and that staff, like, they have a really nice offense design that they run in. It seems like they get open shots a lot. And, you know, Tyler Nickel, that guy was really good yesterday. He was knocking down shots. And that was just kind of difference in the game. South Carolina had a little bit of a run there late in the first half where they made four in a row threes at one point and kind of started to get back into the game. But
yeah, they got down like 4 or 6, yeah.
Yeah, and quickly Vanderbilt made it. It seemed like, you know, in those moments, Vanderbilt always had a response in that game. And then the second half just really kind of pulled away there.
Yeah, that little point guard for Vanderbilt, I mean, not only did he have, like, what, 19 points and 14 assists, but he was 10 of 10 from the free throw line. And, man, Lamont, if you can go get that kid out of the portal, get him next year. I texted you, Alex. I was like, I'm very impressed with this kid because, wow, he was really good. And the other thing with Vanderbilt, like they never stop moving. They're constantly running actions. They're running motion. They're not stagnant at all. That helps to get good shots. Now, the flip side of that is you better be in shape because you can run all over the place. But mm-hmm. if you can't gather and, you know, get momentum into a shot and get off the ground, it's not going to work out. But very, very impressed with Vanderbilt. Just like I was with Vanderbilt football this year, honestly, very impressed with that program and what they're doing. And, you know, it sucks for South Carolina. Yeah, you look at South Carolina, they have 5 losses on the season now by us, you know, looking at the margin of deficit there, 7-2, 3-7, and 12. All those teams are top 65 teams, give or take, in the country, according to KenPom. The biggest issue with South Carolina right now is they haven't won any of the marquee games. No. They haven't lost to any bad teams, but they haven't got over that hump yet. Shooting 30.7% from 3 is just a recipe for disaster. I think at one point yesterday, the Gamecocks were 5 of 21 from the 3-point line and also got out-rebounded. It's funny, Alex, you look at the KenPom statistics, and they're really not a terrible offensive team. Outside of 3-point shooting, they're not. They're actually pretty daggum good in a lot of statistics.
They're one of the top teams in the country in 2-point field goal percentage, and then one of the top teams in the country in free throw percentage. But the 3 points just, and then, you know, I think a lot of what helps that Lamont talked about this post game. A lot of what helps that 2-point percentage is how many shots are taken from the outside because it helps spread the floor and things like that. But the 3-point shots just have to start falling. I think they're at around 30% right now in the season from 3. And for the importance of what the 3-point shot was going to be for this team, that has got to be a better number. And, you know, in these games that they've lost against Butler, Northwestern, Clemson, Virginia Tech, Vanderbilt, maybe not so much Vanderbilt because Vanderbilt really controlled that game yesterday for the most part. Yeah. But in some of those games, if you knock down 2 more 3-pointers, 3 more 3-pointers, you walk away with a win. So that's just the fine line that it is in college basketball. And that's, you know, if they're going to want to have any success here against in the SEC slate, that's, you know, you're starting to see, you know, the SEC this year maybe won't be up to that level, actually won't be up to that level it was last year because that was just an unreal level of league play. But it's still a good league, and they're going to have to start knocking down some 3-pointers consistently, not just in spurts and games.
Oh, I agree. And in the offseason, Alex, I said the one thing or the two things that this men's basketball team had to do different were make their shots, make their 3-pointers, and not turn the ball over. Well, they're not turning the ball over. That's not the issue. It's just not be able to make threes, and then they can't force turnovers either. And, Alex, I think I texted you during the game. I don't think in the first half, maybe the first 30 minutes of that basketball game yesterday, Vanderbilt ever looked uncomfortable on right. offense, maybe a handful of times. And, you know, I don't hate the sit back and, you know, wait for someone to make a mistake, get the rebound. Like, that makes sense. It worked 2 years ago. Lamont Paris, the SEC coach of the year, got a 6 seed in the NCAA basketball tournament. It can work. But, you know, right now it's just not. And the bad thing for South Carolina, and it's also a good thing, is that they have 17 games left against all Quad 1, Quad 2 opponents. But that's also a bad thing. You haven't shown that you can beat any of those opponents so far. So, Alex, I mean, to me, and we'll continue to talk about men's and women's the entire rest of the season. We're not going to just, you know, do what a lot of Gamecock fans do and just start ignoring it. But until they can start making threes and get on a little bit of a run and win some games that they maybe are not favored to, it's going to be tough sledding.
Yeah, I mean, starting this Tuesday against LSU, a team that's really kind of, you know, taking the next step with what they've done in the transfer portal. I mean, that's, you know, you kind of looked at it in the beginning of non-conference play. Okay, you know, you could have a manageable start to the SEC schedule for South Carolina, but hasn't turned out that way. I mean, LSU's a top 30 team, maybe top 35 team, KenPom right now. Vanderbilt, we've talked about them, but I mean, it's going to be a challenge Tuesday, and it's a night in battle. Anybody can just about beat anybody in this league, and I mean, every game is going to be a challenge for South Carolina. They just got it. You know, what we've talked about tonight already, consistently 3-point shooting and doing what you do well offensively, while also they still need to continue to improve defensively, as well as some of the things you mentioned against Vanderbilt. But it's going to be quite a stretch here coming up for South. Really important here next 4 to 5 games to see if they can find any way to build some type of momentum.
Yeah, and I will say, too, before we get on to football, like there was the question Lamont Paris got asked last night in the press conference that I thought was kind of stupid, and I'm going to go ahead and make mention of it. Someone asked, why did you not start pressing when there was 4 or 5 minutes left in the game? Well, just so everyone understands, you can't press unless you make a basket. So if you're missing shots, you can't set up your press. So, and I think Lamont actually had a very funny answer to that.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We got a lot of basketball coaches in the room tonight talking about the press. And Alex, I know you weren't there, but honestly, guys, like you can't set up a press unless you make a basket. And it even a made free throw, it makes it a little bit harder to set up a press. But yeah, so look, Lamont Paris hasn't forgot how to coach basketball, but there's really good teams in the SEC. And if he can't find a way to win, then we're probably going to have the same conversations that we had about Shane Beamer, what, Alex, 6 months ago when we started that conversation. So, yeah. Look, it is what it is. You got to win. But moving on to football, Alex, I don't think you and I personally need to spend a lot of time talking about, okay, well, Lenore Sellers came back, Dylan Stewart came back, Nick Harbor, you know, all these players that have made their announcements, even Sterling Lucas going to LSU and Deion Barnes coming in, like, TheBigSpur.com has been all over this. JC has been doing a lot of different shows in between, like this little break here. We're not going to talk a lot about it, except for Alex. Like we both think these are good things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, with Sellers and Stewart and Harbor, like you know, when you kind of went into the transfer portal, they kind of getting into the portal start. You know, that was kind of the three that you marked that said, you know, South Carolina's got to find a way to get those three guys back. And, you know, ended up going 3-for-3 there, which was huge. You had the little bit of the situation there with Sterling Lucas when he left to go to LSU, and you wondered if Dylan Stewart was going to follow. But, you know, Dylan Stewart's always, and I think we talked about this, but Dylan Stewart's always been comfortable in South Carolina and, you know, could have just one more year at South Carolina if things continue to go the way they are, because that guy's got a great chance to be a top 10 draft pick. So, you know, really good for South Carolina. That was kind of, you know, a start for them once they got into this transfer portal segment.
Yeah, and then the coaches and stuff like that. Like, coaching staffs are going to come and go. And, you know, I thought someone had a good point on TheBigSpur.com. Like, you know, don't get too, like, fixated on a player or a coach, anything, because, like, it changes. It moves. I saw a statistic, Alex, that 31.6% of college football players that played college football last year are already in the portal right now. So you're talking about, you know, a ridiculous amount of kids in the portal. Like, I think this has happened in college basketball every year as well. And some kids just get left out in the cold. So I hope that that doesn't happen for football, but it does. And, you know, sometimes it's good just to be in the same program, whether that's South Carolina, whether that's, you know, Charleston Southern. It doesn't matter. Like, the grass isn't always greener. But Alex and I are going to talk a lot about this tonight. That's going to be the bulk of the rest of our conversation. Here in a little bit, we'll have Justin come up with sportscapvalue.com. But Alex, let's start with the portal losses. So I'm just going to run off the offense, and we can, whatever you want to do. You want to talk offense or defense or put them both together? What do you think? Just start with offense?
Let's start with offense, yeah.
All right, so on offense, you lost quarterback Aaron Noland. At running back, you haven't lost anybody that I'm aware of. Wide receiver Brian Rowe, Vandrevis Jacobs, Amazion Littlejohn. Tight end, Michael Smith has been gone for a while. I don't think you're thinking about him. But then offensive line, Alex, this, I don't know if I feel like shocked, dismayed, whatever, but you have Josiah Thompson, Trovon Ball, Tree Babalade, Kaysen Henry, Boaz Stanley, Nick Sharp, Rodney Newsome Jr., Mac Walters and Campbell Van Diver. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is that 9? Is that count right?
I think so. It sounds right.
All right. So we're talking about offense. Go anywhere you want to go, but we're going to talk about all these position groups.
All right. Let's start offensive line. I mean, I think that's kind of the story from the transfer portal. Like, going into it, you're going to have a new coach there with Randy Clemens coming in. I wasn't going to be too surprised if they lost maybe this number of them. You know, maybe not quite to this number, but you know, it's just, you know, you have a new coach coming in, a new system coming in. Wasn't going to be too surprised. But now with these, you know, departures with the 9 and 8 scholarship guys or whatever the number is from scholarship guys, a big number of scholarship guys, it's going to be very important from an NCAA transfer portal from South Carolina to get in the portal and get some offensive linemen. And you're starting to see that with some of the visits that are being scheduled and, you know, the number of offensive linemen that have been in touch with South Carolina. So it is a big number, and it just equally adds to the importance of they need to completely rebuild that room, not only from a starting standpoint, because you've lost 4 of your 5 starters with Shed Surratt being the only one staying at South Carolina. But now you got to continue to build depth too.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit as far as like what the numbers are for each position group that we need to get to. But yeah, Josiah Thompson, I think that one hurt a lot of Gamecocks because he's a South Carolinian. He is a former 5-star. And look, I don't know why Josiah left. I mean, I'll be honest, like probably money. I don't know what number he was offered, but anytime I talk to anybody about the transfer portal right now and what this player or that player did, it comes down to money. But Josiah Thompson, Trevon Ball, Bo, is it Ball, Bow? I don't have to say it ever again. Ball. Just tell me the right way, Ball. Okay. Tree Bavalade, Kason Henry, Boaz Stanley, Nick Sharp, Rodney Newsom Jr. I mean, as a fan base, all I heard about was how bad this offensive line was terrible. They're the worst. So, I mean, I don't think you get too angry about anybody leaving despite, you know, their pedigree. So we'll have to see what they do, Alex. I think you're right there. When you look at wide receiver, I do think that Brian Rowe and Vandrevious Jacobs does kind of hurt. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it hurts that badly, just knowing what they still have in that room.
Yeah, it's still a pretty solid room overall, just from a you got outside of those departures. I mean, you got Nick Harbor coming back, you got Mazio Bennett coming back, Donovan Murph coming back. You got some solid pieces there that, you know, you want to see them continue to take the next step. But, you know, Dre Jacobs was one that, you know, I think that's a loss there just because he, you know, he's a really good player and had a pretty good season in his 2 years at South Carolina, you know, continue to take steps forward. So was looking forward to see what he can do in his third year in the program, but you know, we'll see kind of what he ends up doing. Like, maybe is he going back down back somewhere in Florida? I can see him going back to Miami, or so. I think he visited Miami recently. So you know, I think that's, you know, then again, we'll see what they do from a transfer portal standpoint. I already had a couple visits there, but you know, I think Rowe, and with Rowe too, like, he was a guy that you saw the athleticism on tape. Now it's just for him was just continue to get bigger and stronger, and interesting to see where he ends up to.
Yeah, and then with Aaron Oland, look, I know some Gamecock fans were frustrated because they just assumed that Gamecocks paid a ton of money for Aaron Oland. They didn't. I'll repeat it. They did not. It's one of those things where if you thought Lenore Sellers was potentially going to go pro after, you know, this past season, then you do bring in a top 100 kid, a top 50 player, whatever he was ranked. He was a big-time quarterback recruit, and you just see what's there. Kick the tires. He was a late add in the portal season last year. So looking at this overall, Alex, on the offense, like, yeah, I mean, Michael Smith, that thing's been talked to death. We don't have to really get into him, but going offensive to line, they're going to have to revamp a wide receiver. Alex, if I had told you this time last year that the Gamecocks would have the best wide receiver recruiting class in probably their history, and they would only lose what one of those 6 kids that committed to them from that past year.
I mean, I think you take that. Okay? I mean, that was kind of one of your first thoughts with that class. Whenever they signed 6 receivers, like, okay, how long can they hold on to all of them? Cause you just know, just with how college football works, transfer portal, attrition, all that, you're more than likely not going to keep all of them all 4 years at South Carolina. But I mean, to have 5 going into next year and only losing one, like, that's a win, because that's a group that you know, year 1, year 2 is always kind of your biggest jump in college football, as a team and as a player. And, you know, you kind of see that with this receiver group, a guy like Donovan Murphy really eager to see what he looks like in year two. Some of those other guys, like Alex Cyrus, who did get who registered and didn't play this year, but what's he going to do? Can he help from a return standpoint? So really interested to see what that freshman group can do, because I think they have a lot of potential. You can see that with their recruiting rankings.
And then last thing before we move off from move over to defense is, when you look at this offensive line, like, understand that someone asked in here, and maybe you can pull this up here, Alex, but where is it? How much NIL do we have? That's just college football now. Some players want money. I think Jacobs is one of them. One thing I will say is, like, yeah, I think all college football players want money. I'm not saying that Jacobs was one of them. I think Jacobs is one of all of them, quite frankly. If you're going to have the opportunity to get paid and you're going to play a college sport, and let's be honest, like, 90% of the roster at any college football program is probably not going to play professionally in any sport. Go on down the line. Like, yeah, make as much money as you can. I have no ills or qualms about that. But the Gamecocks, they do have NIL money. And it's not just the $16 million of the 20.2 or whatever number it is that they're allocating to football. They have probably $25 to $30 million that they have to allocate with the right sponsors outside of the 16. And you have to find where that money is best used. And I just tell people, the offensive line, like, was the investment last year worth it to you? And I didn't write a single check, Alex. I don't think you wrote a single check. I don't think 90% of the people watching this wrote a single check. But if I'm a Gamecock fan, I'm going to say, well, spend that money better. So you do cut some funding there and what you're spending, and you see what happens. Moving on defense, Alex, like, this side of the ball barely got touched with the transfer portal.
Yeah.
I mean, on defensive line, you have Xavion Hardy, who big-time get, a National Signing Day flip last year out of JUCO, South Carolina kid. I think Xavion's from South Carolina, right?
Oh, crap. He just put me right on the spot. I don't think so.
Is he from North Carolina? I know he was a long-time recruit.
I'll look it up. That's gonna bother.
Yeah, it's not a big worry. But Xavion Hardy, who, like, if you remember back before Travion got in his accident, there was film going around online of Travion just, like, lighting into Xavion. And, you know, maybe that kid wasn't cut out to be at South Carolina, or, you know, didn't want to be here. Who cares? Like, you have to get to the who cares mindset with this roster churn. And I hate it, because, Alex, you much more than me, you've covered these kids. You actually know them. Like, but for the casual fan, like, you have to get used to this roster turn.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just everything we've talked about from a transfer portal standpoint, it's the day and age of college football. And with Xavion Hardy specifically, by the way, he's from Macon, Georgia, just to answer the question. But
yeah,
you know, I think with him, like, he was one that, you know, had the JUCO to SEC Division I jump. That's a big jump. And kind of like what we talked about with high school a lot. And I think there's still just some acclimation going on there. And, you know, I just think at the end of the day, like, you know, when we'll get into what they're going to do on the defensive line, the transfer portal, but they're going to bring up some guys in from the transfer portal standpoint, and you're going to need some room there. So now I think he could be one. I'm interested to see where he ends up, because he, as you mentioned, was like maybe the number one JUCO recruit coming out.
Yeah,
it just didn't work out.
And then you lost Chase Kibble, and then Jaron Willis, who actually transferred into the program at linebacker. I thought he flashed, but I think he had really good players in front of him too. And then, Justin O's return. I see Alex just highlighted that.
Yeah, that's
pretty humongous.
That was going to be, like, my number one takeaway, besides, as Carolina Titans said, Dylan Stewart. Like, that linebacker room, for one, you kept all three of their, I guess you can call them co-starters, because they kind of flipped throughout the year. But Justin Okoronkwo, like, that guy came on towards the end of the season. Same for Sean Murphy, too. And to get him, Sean Murphy, Fred Johnson back, that was a huge win in the offseason.
Yeah, and look, you know, I'm not trying to say that anything's imminent, but until January 16th comes, don't celebrate anything.
Yeah. Should have started off with that. Yeah.
But then you lost Tayshaun Alston. He was a kid that, you know, from South Carolina, I do think. Or was he from North Carolina, Alex?
He was in North Carolina. Yeah.
Okay. North Carolina kid. A Carolinian. You would say it. But, yeah, you lost him to the transfer portal. Probably not a kid that was going to play at South Carolina anytime soon. And then Miles Norwood at DB. That's it. And look, you have a couple kids that went pro in the secondary. That's going to hurt. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, I was going to say your losses on defense came from going pro and not transfer portal. I mean, that's, you know, you figured Brandon Cisse had a pretty good shot to go into the draft just because you saw some first round mocks for him, some second round mocks for him. Like, you figured he was going to go ahead a really good season. Jalen Kilgore, I think, you know, going into it, I was a little like 50-50 on what he'd do, but he decided to go ahead and declare. And so now that spot becomes, we'll talk about that in a minute, but your losses on defense came from going pro.
Yeah. Yeah.
And graduation.
So then on special teams, you have kicker Peyton Argent is going to the transfer portal. I think he was a walk-on. I don't think he was a scholarship player. Yeah. So this year, Alex, you know, we talk about it. You have up to, 105 scholarships that you can divvy out. How many players do you think the Gamecocks will take? They lost 20, but not all of them were scholarship guys.
That's going to be interesting to see what, just because how are the numbers going to work out? Because when you're looking in this transfer portal, are they going to say, obviously offensive line, defensive line is going to be where a lot of the numbers come in, because Shane Beaver talked about multiple times that's the priority. But is it a case where maybe you take you take one receiver, but then another one pops up the radar and you say, oh, well, this one, you know, we can, if you're South Carolina, you can get him at the right price and he could be someone that can help you right away. Okay, maybe that adds one more to your numbers. So probably still is a little bit flexible right now on their numbers as we get into these next, I guess now a week and a half or so, a little more than a week and a half of this portal.
What I think is the numbers aren't necessarily scholarships. Like, they'll figure that part out. You know, the one thing people have to realize is that however many men's scholarships for athletics that come through at the college level, they have to give the same amount of women's scholarships too. So like Title IX still comes into play here. So, but I mean, yeah, you could go up to 105. You got to figure out what happens with the other sports. I think the biggest driver and catalyst here, Alex, is actually going to be how much NIL money that you have. And I think, you know, looking at some of the players that left, I mean, I'm not going to go into, you know, actual like player by player numbers, but, you know, looking at it, you probably had close to 600,000 to $1 million walking off the roster, going somewhere else. So, money opened up. Now, how do you spend it? You know, what's the player retention? All of that. But yeah, Alex, I mean, offensive line, I mean, how many guys do you think they need? I mean, do you have any idea how many they still have on scholarship, including like incoming?
I'd have to go look at the roster. I don't know the exact number. I don't want to.
I mean, I want to say, well, you need 15 to 17, and I can rattle off like 7-8 guys that are going to be on the team next year. So you probably still need
more than
7
five
to eight.
Yeah, yeah. Offensive linemen. Six or seven, somewhere in that range. 6 to 8, we'll put it in that range.
Yeah.
Like I said, you need starters, and you don't just need starters, or you just need depth. You need both.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the offensive line right now, like, okay, Darius Gray is going to start somewhere. He's going to start as a true freshman as things stand right now, and then you have Shed Surratt's going to start somewhere as things stand right now, right? Outside of that. Man, you got a lot of unproven guys, but at the same time, I mean, I had a hot take with you, Alex, and look, I'm going to get scolded by everybody here. I already understand it when I say this. I think Boaz Stanley could have been a pretty good offensive lineman if he wasn't playing center and he didn't have crap coaching him. And when I say crap, just crap scheme, crap offensive line, crap everything. But maybe you can find that in the portal, Alex. So maybe this is a good transition here. Where are the Gamecocks looking in the portal? What do you know about right now? Who's visiting? All of that.
Excuse me. So yeah, as we talked about earlier, you know, a lot of the news that we kind of have reported on the Big Spur, just from a visit standpoint, you know, we'll just start with this weekend slate. Kind of these. So need to start off by saying that these are the names that we've reported, but, you know, who knows? Like, sometimes guys can kind of just fly under the radar in visits, too, and things like that. So we'll start there. But these are the names that we've kind of that we know have visited. Jaden Gibson, wide receivers, Jaden Gibson from Oklahoma and Joshua Manning from Missouri. They were in this weekend. Carter Miller was one that kind of popped up on the radar this morning, a center from UCF. He was in this today. Nate Palmer, TCU, he's going to be visiting, running back. As you can imagine, there's a connection there with Kendall Browse. And then Paul Bubenga is going to be one that's in Monday. He's an offensive lineman from LSU. And just, you know, I wrote through some other these other names real quick. The offensive line, very heavy. Like DJ Chester, LSU offensive lineman, reported he's going to visit. Brendan Black, an Iowa State right guard, he's going to be in, I think, Tuesday he'll be in. So, you know, and tight end Randy Pittman's one that's going to be really interesting to watch. He's from Florida State and has taken – he's visited Auburn. I think he's going to take a few more visits before he gets to South Carolina. But, you know, it's really been, from the names that we've reported so far, it's been really heavy offensive linemen, as you can imagine. But, again, that doesn't – the names that we reported doesn't mean that's just – you know, more than likely it could be there's some other visits that are happening too that we just don't know about.
Yeah, and Alex, you and I were kind of talking about this last night, and I texted you. I was like, all right, Alex, we know the public guys on campus. How many other guys do you think are on campus? And both of us said, like, probably somebody we don't know about. And that's a good thing, though, y'all. Just because Alex hasn't said, hey, this guy's on campus, or Hales said it, whatever. Like, just sometimes things need to be a little bit quiet, be a little bit secret. And we'll see if those things are happening. But remember, too, like the portal is open until January, what is it, 16th? So, like, some guys might not be in the portal yet. Some kids might want to see the lay of the land. Even though 31.6% of college football players are in the portal, the portal closing doesn't mean that you can't go anywhere else. It just means that you can't enter the portal. So you better be in there by the 16th. So just hold your breath on that. I do want to do a couple of laughs here. Carolina Titan says, LOL, Matt Boas was trash. Look, I get it. I understand. But I'm just saying that I don't think any offensive lineman could have been successful last year. Jay Diz says, I hope we aren't handcuffed filling out the roster with O-line needs now. I don't think they will be.
No.
Go ahead, Alex.
I was going to say, like, they have to go after these number of offensive linemen that we're talking about but I don't think it's going to handcuff them.
No, I don't think so either. And like, understand that the kind of like the shell of the team is still there. You're not having to go out and find stud wide receivers. Like, you can get by. You don't have to go get a quarterback. You don't have to get a Dylan Stewart. You don't have to do a lot of the things that a lot of other teams around the country are doing. Like, yeah, the offensive line is huge, but if you've already allocated money to your core coming back and now you're just trying to fill in gaps, I said this yesterday. I was on the show with JC. Steve Spurrier would have crushed the portal because his top 22 always stayed healthy. Like, that's what he got the benefit of the doubt on. Like, if you're just filling gaps, that's what the Gamecocks have to do. Looking through some more of the comments here. XO, yeah, I don't know if softball gets more scholarships. Have you heard that? Alex, that'd be a great decision, I think. Any news on the kicker from Texas Tech? I don't think he's visiting anymore, right, Alex?
No.
Yeah, I think we've kind of caught up on the chat stuff here. All right, well, this is actually a perfect time to take a break. We're going to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, I'm so excited about this segment. We just gave a proper name to this segment, and it's called... Alex, drum roll, please. Ramblin' and Gamblin' with Justin Lyles of SportsCatValue.com. So excited for this. Let's go.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cars while you're at it.
I knew I liked that one.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Carl.
Congratulations. See you tomorrow, Freddie.
You bet.
J.C. Sherbert here. Had a brilliant idea that some good friends of mine in Florence have told me about. Next time you're having a wedding or an event or anytime you got to feed a bunch of people, talk to my friends over at Flavortown Eats and Events. That's right. It's a food truck slash trailer. Prepares the food fresh on site right there for you. No hassle. It's absolutely delicious. They'll come out, turnkey solution to feed the masses at your event. Go to their website right now, FlavortownFlow.com. That's FlavortownFlow.com. They have all the contact information you need, and they are a proud sponsor of the Late Night Gamecock Show and the Chiefs Sports Network.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Go Gamecocks!
This is the Late Night Gamecock Show with the pride of Hampton County, Alex Jones. And with the king of late night, Matt Anderson. Go Gamecocks!
All right. Well, I think Alex Jones had to step aside for a second. That probably means that all of you should start going to thebigspur.com. He's probably dropping some knowledge. Alex, not dropping knowledge?
No, my computer decided, sorry to bust everybody's bubble, my computer during the break decided not to cooperate. So,
well, you're just in time for Ramblin' and Gambling with Justin Lyles at sportscapvalue.com. Justin, before you get started, I do want to make note that I beat Alex in the SEC bowl game challenge, and then we added that team from the upstate. However, Georgia and Ohio State were our college football playoff winners for a tiebreaker. So Alex wins this year, but I kind of want to say, you know.
You can stop there.
Yeah, okay. So, Alex won our gambling segment. I do think that you guys have been texting on the side. But, Justin, how you been doing, man? Happy New Year.
Good. Happy New Year. I feel like this break's been long. I don't know about y'all, but ready to get back to the real world, so to speak. And, speaking of these bowl games, it's been you don't know what to expect with opt-in and opt-out and transfer portals and blah, blah, blah. And here you are. It's January 2nd, portals open, and we're rolling.
And teams that are still in the playoffs have players going to the transfer portal.
Crazy.
I mean, I don't know about you, Justin, but even if I wasn't a starter or a role, like playing a important role, I would stick it out, man. Like, the transfer portal is going to be there. You have until the 5 days or whatever after your season ends. I don't like these kids going to the portal right now, but I understand why they do it.
Yeah, I think the schedule's got to change. I would assume it's probably going to change next year, I would think, as much chatter is happening. But we'll see. It needs to happen ASAP. There's too much of a break between the regular season and the bowl games and the playoffs. I mean, just keep rolling. They should be rolling like the NFL. I think the NFL gets the playoffs in 3 weeks, and there's no reason that college football can't do the same or something similar of that fashion. But, yeah, I mean, as far as the players, if you're good enough or find, you know, that you're an asset to whatever program, you'll find your way onto a roster. So I wouldn't be too concerned about getting in early or what have you, unless there's some doubt and you're not playing on the current team that you're on.
Well, I think at the end of the day, Alex, maybe you'll agree with this. Like, you must have a really, really crappy agent if you can't finish the season with your team, knowing how agents have been talking since October,
yeah,
September. But so, Justin, I know a couple of things you wanted to hit on tonight. Let's give your recap of the college football playoff quarterfinal. Well, really the entire playoffs. You know, how'd you do?
Up and down, started off well, not, you know, on New Year's Day, struggled with the three games. But, again, recapping, Miami in the quarterfinals has looked as impressive as anybody, as much as Indiana, for that matter. Just really kind of dominating Ohio State from the get-go. And then, you know, Ole Miss taking it to Georgia here and there and then really coming out being Georgia. I was a little surprised by that. Obviously, we had spoken about Georgia on this show prior. Them and Ole Miss, for that matter, are being, you know, long shots to win it all. Unfortunately, they had to play each other in the quarterfinals. And then you've got Indiana, who's probably wasn't given much against Alabama, and they have just continued what they do all year, and that's be the best team in the country. So,
honestly, man, how do y'all feel about this? I think Kurt Cignetti, whatever his name is going too much into the Nick Saban trope. Like, just smile, dude. Like, you never thought when you took the Indiana job that you were going to be in this position.
Yeah, I was kind of watching the games on New Year's, and they were showing coverage of him kind of walking into the stadium and stuff. And I didn't know if he was – he looked – I don't know if he was nervous or was putting on a show or what. I can't figure the guy out. But whatever he's doing is working.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Don't change if you're Curtis. Yeah. I mean, it's working. It's like, don't change the mojo.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, so I know, you know, Justin, you gave us a really good tip weeks and weeks and weeks. Golly, probably 2 months ago, we started talking about futures and college football playoff winners. And you said Miami. And look, you know, when you said Miami, they were not the overall favorite or anything like that. I mean, they were tops in the country, but you kept saying like, hey, you know, don't sleep on Miami. And now look at them. I mean, Miami, and then look, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I will toot toot. I said Oregon, and both these teams have just said, hey, when games matter, we're going to be really freaking good. So it's really been fun to watch.
Yeah, I think that the Oregon-Texas Tech was probably the most disappointing thing. I was a little surprised by Texas Tech not being able to do anything on offense. Was very surprising. I just don't know how you can go 12-1 and then not score a single point in the playoff. And I know they're giving Oregon a lot of credit with Dan Lanning, and until he wins it all, I just don't know that we're there yet. But I mean, he's right in position to win it all. He's got two more games, but he's got a rematch with Indiana on his hands. So
Alex, let me throw this to you really quick before we come back to Justin. What do you think is harder, to win this Final Four game coming up, or to win the national championship? Because I've talked to college basketball coaches to say the Final Four game is harder than the national championship because of all the hoopla that surrounds the Final Four in college basketball. Then after you've won, you're on the national championship, like you're there for a mission. What do y'all think is the situation right now?
You know, I was going to say probably the semifinal game, because your goal is to win the national get to the national championship and win the national championship. And I think once you get there, it takes a little bit of that pressure off of, okay, hey, we're here, we made it. Now we just go play and see what we can do.
Yeah, I think the only difference is with the Final Four in basketball, the four teams are in one location versus this one. They're in two different locations. So I think it's a little bit different. But I will agree the pressure is a little bit, I think, amplified at this stage. And then once they get to the national championship, I mean, they've been through the gutter, and all, so to speak. So I think this is by far going to be their deepest challenge for all.
Well, that's the perfect time to talk semifinals outlook, Justin. What are you seeing in these games? And, you know, give the folks something to think about here. And by the way, don't you have a promo for people watching the show right now?
Yes. So for anybody that wants to come try us out, we're doing a 3-day free access. You just sign up under the monthly plays. Right now that's $30 a month, but you'll sign up with the discount code. That's GameCock in all capital letters. If you'll apply that discount code, you'll get 3 free days under that, and you can see all of our plays and hopefully make a little money on the side.
And that'll lead right into the semifinals, correct?
That's right. So I think Miami is getting – they're giving 3.5, excuse me, like I said, Miami's looked good on all – I mean, you got to win up front. We speak about this all the time. You win in the trenches, and Miami has proven in that probably better than anybody in the country right now, what they've done. As far as a lean at this moment, I probably have to give the lean to Miami. They just look dominant at 3.5. And then I'm not betting. I mean, I'm just not going to bet against Indiana. I've learned too much. Like, I mean, I'm not even going to look at the numbers. I'm taking Indiana. If I lose, I lose. I don't know what to say about them. They're just so impressive. They don't make mistakes. And I just don't think Oregon can stop them running the ball. So I'm just going to take Indiana -4. If I lose, I lose.
Yeah, I was going to say I'll go ahead. Like, I mean, just from a non-betting standpoint, like Ole Miss being the national championship just would be fun just because of all the storylines that will come with that. But an Indiana-Miami national championship game would be something, I think. That'd be a very fun game to watch.
Oh, man. Like, for me, like, gambling aside, you know, I'm glad we got Justin's picks here. But and look, those might change. So make sure you go to sportscapvalue.com and sure. Use promo code Gamecocks, all caps Gamecocks. But I'm pulling for Ole Miss for every reason Alex just said. I mean, some of the things that I've heard behind the scenes that Lane Kiffin tried to kind of force Ole Miss's hands on, it rubs me the wrong way. But at the same time, like, Alex knows this with Lane Kiffin and me, like. Lane Kiffin lives in people's heads. Like, people really think Lane Kiffin wakes up to pee in your Cheerios each morning. And all he's trying to do is win football games. It's all the man cares about and co-eds. But anyway, like, I'll be happy for Ole Miss. If Ole Miss can't win, I'm fine with Indiana. I think Indiana winning is the best case scenario for a program like South Carolina to prove that with the right coaching staff, with the right players, the right mindset, you can do it. But so a couple other things, Justin, that I know you wanted to talk about. I'll let you take the stage here. But we're excited for this segment. I'm glad it's a permanent thing now. You've been doing this long enough. About time we named it.
Yeah. Well, we've got the special name now, so we should be off the ground and running and shooting for the moon. So go ahead and subscribe, hit the like button, whatever you want to call it. We're here for the people, and hopefully make a little money along the way. We're going to talk about – want to go with a little NFL playoff preview as the regular season's wrapping up right now. Want to hit on that real quick and some teams that we're kind of looking at as we head into the playoffs next weekend. Obviously, the Panthers getting in. That's good, I think, for the two Carolina states. It's been a while. So it's nice to see them back in there. I don't see them doing anything for that matter, because they're going to get a tough draw in the first round of the wild card. Looking at some odds, I'm kind of looking at the Houston Texans on the AFC to come out of the AFC. Nobody's really talking about them, so to speak. I think what the run that they're on is just unbelievable. And Alex, if you want to chime in, I just want to hear your thoughts.
9-game winning streak. I think they ended up winning that game today. I think.
Yeah, they did. And they had a big boy score at the end.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what a way to end the season with that winning streak. And that's a lot of momentum to take into the playoffs.
Yes. And I had them on against the Chargers last week, which was really a pivotal game. They're on the road in LA and they beat them. But I think from a good value perspective, I'm kind of eyeing them and I'm kind of eyeing the Buffalo Bills to come out of the AFC. For that matter, I think this is a stacked playoff, you know, from top to bottom on both sides in the NFC and the AFC. So I'm kind of eyeing Houston at, let's see, they're at +600, give or take, what you're finding. That's right now. And then Buffalo is about +500, so 5-1 right there. Obviously, New England's had a good year in Denver as well as Jacksonville, but I'm kind of eyeing those two teams out of the AFC.
I don't believe in Denver at all.
Yeah. And then NFC-wise, Seattle has looked impressive. They looked dominant last night against San Francisco. That defense is strong as ever. There's no value on them, them being number one seed. So I'm kind of eyeing the Philadelphia Eagles here just from a value perspective. I think if they can show up at the right time, they can kind of sneak up on people and win that NFC and maybe a potential kind of repeat of Super Bowl champions. So that's kind of my NFL kind of quick glance as we head into the playoffs. And then if you guys want to talk about a little basketball, we can do that as well.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes for the SEC Sunday night guys take over. But yeah, men's college basketball, like, this is my favorite sport. So go at it, Justin. I'm excited.
I think with, you know, obviously South Carolina with the late night Gamecock show, South Carolina kind of, I'm sure y'all have discussed them, but, you know, not very impressive yesterday opening the SEC. I was watching it and I saw some backcourt violations, you know, stuff that mental mistakes, the basic fundamentals that the team, shouldn't be, should be taken care of, and they're not doing that. And then when I see, I don't know if this team has an identity yet, or if they're trying to, maybe that's what I saw a lot of yesterday, and that was, let's launch a 3-point shot with everybody on the arc, all five guys on the arc, nobody to get a rebound. I saw it like 10 times yesterday. And I don't know if that's what we're trying to do, but I don't think that's a recipe for success.
It definitely hurt the offensive rebounding numbers.
Yes. I mean, I would count all fives surrounding the arc. So I don't know.
Well, Justin, that's what we did. Like, we just needed people to rebound for us and kick it back out.
Yeah, that was what happened when I was back in my fraternity days and we were playing intramural basketball, you know. But I mean, Division One power, you know, the Power Four, I don't know about that. So I don't know what Lamont's trying to do there. It's like the rosters, you know, you just threw a bunch of guys into a bag and you pulled out guys and let's go play basketball. So I don't know how the season is going to stack going forward, talking about the Gamecocks.
Well, so how you been doing in college basketball, betting? Or do you have any teams you're favoring right now that you say, hey, look, you know, because I'm fading Duke all the time right now. Like, they're not covering jack crap, but
that's a great point. I had Georgia Tech the other day. They were getting like 27.5. They almost won the game outright. So, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, with the parity in college basketball, it's a little – I look at that. I take a lot of dogs. You get those double-digit 15-point range, give or take, even if they're on the road. I mean, I like the points. And like I've said before, a wise man always told me, take the points when you can. When you're getting double digits, that's just a bonus.
Absolutely. And look, yeah, I think the Gamecocks did cover yesterday. I think they did. They only lost by 12. So. And I think it was like 17.5 is the number I saw at some point in the week. Basketball, like, there's so many games every day. I can't look at the look ahead and then get. I just don't play college basketball on the betting side. But there's games every single night, and just understand that right now you get 3 free days on sportscapvalue.com with the promo code Gamecock. So make sure you do that. It's all caps. I know I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm going to send it to my friends. Sorry, Justin, and say, look, guys, like, you're going to get 3 days because they don't watch the show. You're going to get 3 days and then just profit. That's all you're going to worry about going forward. But, guys, we hope that you all take advantage of that. We are so thankful that you've all been here with us tonight to ring in this new year. Sunday nights at 7:00 going forward. Look, if the men's basketball team, the women's team have a big upset, big win, Alex and I might pop in on here. So make sure you're subscribed. And also, a couple of housekeeping notes. Since those of you probably know, JC is no longer with the Big Spur. I know Alex is sad about that, but JC has new endeavors. You're going to have to resubscribe to get this in podcast form. So just go on Apple Music or Spotify and just search Inside the Gamecock Show and Podcast, Inside the Gamecock Shows and Podcast, and then on Twitter at Gamecock Show. That's where you'll find all these links. We wish JC the best. Nothing's going to change with me and Alex. We're super excited to still be here. Justin has just no hat in the ring here. It's not a big deal to him. But we're still going to be here for you guys. We love doing this. And Alex, man, thank you so much. You're the MVP. I say it all the time. No one covers Gamecocks like you do. I mean, y'all don't realize this. Alex actually covers intramural table tennis on Sunday.
I guess I do, yeah.
But Justin, man, thanks for being here. We're excited for next week. Alex, thank you for everything you do. Any parting shots before we let the Sunday night SEC guys take it away?
Hey, I think this is a heck of a show to come back to start the new year on. I mean, we had really nice crowd in the chat box. Thank you, everybody in the chat box tonight. Heck of a show. Really fun.
Thanks for having me, guys. Go Cocks.
Of course, man. We'll talk to you soon. Alex, I'm sure we'll be texting in about 20 minutes because the transfer portal never stops. But Alex, if I don't hear from you until next Sunday, man,
we'll talk to you then.
Happy New Year.
There you go.
All right. See you guys later, everybody.